Okay, we're on. Okay, let's go to the bottom of Kuf Tezvav Amabez. We have just been talking about, the parak is about Matzilin Mipnei Hatleika, what Kisvei HaKodesh you're allowed to save from a fire. Yesterday we discussed about might depend what language they were in, because there's a machlokas about when they were started to write down Torah Shebal Peh, were they only allowed to write it down in Yevanis, which was Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Shita, which Rashi quoted, or were they allowed to write it down in any language? And we had a machlokas amaroim within the mandamah that says they were only allowed to write it down in Yevanis. Are you allowed to save it? Then we spoke about, are you allowed to save brachos ukmiyin, which were items which have parts of the Torah on them? Do they have kedusha or not? And then we spoke about what if you have svarim, sifri tanakh, that were not written with dio. You had other types of ink, sam sikra vakumus. And then we started to discuss, what about if you have a rubbed out Sefer Torah and you have less than 85 letters there? What do you mean less than 85 letters? What is 85 letters? Why is that the magic number? So the Gemara explained that Vahibitzo Ha'aron, which is the smallest parsha, quote unquote, in the Torah, has 85 letters. So anything less than that is not considered to have, as Rashi said, it's not considered b'kedusha omeid. It's not. It doesn't retain its sanctity as kedusha. And therefore, one would not have to save it. Matzilin b'nei hadleika. If it has 85 letters, so then it does retain its kedusha, unless it has an askara. If it has an askara, Hashem Hashem, so then even without 85 letters, it would retain its kedusha, and you would have to save it. So says the Gemara. Just as an aside, because we mentioned this idea of vayhibitzo ha'aron and having 85 letters, so the Gemara mentions a famous couple of lines which Rashi quotes al Torah in Parshas Bahaloscha. Let's read it. Second to last line on Kuftes Vav Mabez. Tana Rabbanan. Vayhibitzo ha'aron vayomer Moshe parshazu asala hakadosh baruch hu simanios milamala ulamata. This parsha vayhibitzoa and uvenucha yomar, Hashem made signs, made simanios above and below it, meaning before and after it, lomar she'ein zeh mekoma, to teach me that really this parsha is not in its proper place, really it should be somewhere else, and it's put here for a different reason, which we'll see in a minute. But these are simanios that were made milamala lamata. Rebbe Omer, no, lo man Hashem muzeh. Rebbe says, no, I argue on the Tanakama. Ella, why are these simanios there? Ella b'vneisha zefer chashiv hu b'fnei atzmo. No, it's not that it's out of place, but it's just to teach me that this is its own sefer. It has its own significance. K'man az lahad amar b'shol bar Nachman amar b'yonasan. Who is the following amar like, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, chatzva amudeha shiva, seven pillars, elu shiva sefer Torah. This is according to the Mand Amar that holds that there are seven sefer Torah. K'man k'rebi. Right, who is the one that holds that there are seven? Which Amora hold the Amora that says that there are seven Svarim in the Torah? Which Tana does he hold? Like Rebbe, right? Because if Vahibitzoa is its own Sefer, then you have Reisha Shmos Vayikra Dvarim. That's four, and then Bamidbar split up into three. You have before Vahibitzoa, after Vahibitzoa, and Vahibitzoa itself. So altogether, that's seven. That's seven Parshios. Okay, the Gemara does not say Beferish what these Simanios are. What are these Simanim? So the Minhag Yisrael, as most of the varts that are said on Parshas Bahaloscha explain, it's the nuns, the backwards nuns, the upside down nuns, that itself is a machlokas. Should they just be backwards, or should they be backwards or upside down? Another machlokas is, are they separate, like before and after the Parsha, or in certain Sifrei Torah, certain Achronim, the Achronim say that the nuns of Vayhi ben Soa and Venucha themselves should be backwards. That's like towards the beginning and the end of the parashas. That itself is a machlokas. But in general, the Minhag Yisrael is based on the Zohar, is that the nuns are the samamanios. The Marshal of Shlomo Luria has a tshuva where he is vehemently opposed to the nuns. He writes in Siman Ayin Gimel in a tshuva, he quotes our Gemara. Our Gemara again just says samanios. And he says that he thinks that there should just be space left. That's what samanios means. Leave more than the usual amount of space that's left before a parsha psucha, before an open parsha or a closed parsha. Leave an extra amount of space. That's samanios. But you can't write extra letters in the Torah. He says, "V'tama ani aleihem lichtov beiz osios b'Torah shelo letzorech ul poslo shafi arei afilu os achas yisayir poselas." You're writing new letters. The Torah doesn't say this. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say that you have to add in nuns. Even nekudos could passel. A Megillah's Esther, okay, you can have extra stuff. Some people have like crowns written on top. You have other stuff. Some people have the brachas written at the beginning, whether that's correct or not. It doesn't passel the Megillah. But the Torah can have anything extra in the Megillah. Kolshke, kahai gavna. V'lom rinish yasal HaKadosh Baruch Hu simanim el ratzalomar parsha lefanel achareha. It means that there's a parsha amount left open before and after these this vayhi bitzoah, but not that you write anything else. Kibin adin lo haylo lahafsik, etc., etc. And then he says, "Aval haRambam v'shum mechaber lo iskiru." The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't mention it. Im simanim hayu al elu nunin im kain bevadai im lo asu ma'akev. If you have to write these nunin, it must be the ma'akev. But the poskim don't write it, so it must be the zamaakev. Zamaakev must be not, you can't write it. Me'achash inim b'tika the sofer melamziv yekadosh baruch hu. Then the Tshuva goes on that he was shown many kisvayad of Rashi, of the Zohar. He's shown all of these sources that seem to have the nuns, but he still was very uncomfortable in accepting it. Again, the Minhag Olam is Deloka Marshal, that there are the nuns, I think. But just to note that the Gemara itself does not say what the Samanios are, just says Samanios, but we have interpreted it to mean the nuns. About... where did it come from? Right, he deals. It's a long tshuva. That's the I read the first page, but that is that. Just one. There's so many Torahs written about the not Torahs. So many Divrei Torah written about these nuns, the Samanios, and it was Akar Mimkoma. We're going to say one idea just in a minute. Let's just finish these few lines of the Gemara. Okay, back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, fifth line. We said, Kamanka Rebbe. So, Mantana, the Poligalei de Rebbe. Who is the opinion that argues on Rebbe? Meaning, who is the one that says that the nuns are there not because to make it into its own parsha, but it's there to say that it's in the wrong place? Rebbe Shiva Gamlieli, it's Rebbe Shiva Gamlieli. The Tanya, Rebbe Shiva Gamlieli Omer, I see the parsha Zusha Teyaker. In the future, this parsha will be uprooted, Mikan, Vetikasi Bimkoma. This parsha will be uprooted from here and written down in its proper place. What do you mean at a future time? What the Torah is going to change in the future? Very difficult line to understand. Rashi says, "I see the parsha zu la asid she you call a peranios betalin velo yidagu peranus v'yitzer hara batel." At a time when all peranios will be nullified, we won't have a bad we don't have tragedies anymore, and the yitzer hara will be batel. Then this parsha will go back to its proper place, which is the parshas of a midbar where the tegalim are, where the flags are moving. The hibitzoa is all about the aron moving, so it's going to go back to its proper place, and it's not going to be in the midst of peranos, which we'll talk about in a minute. So again, what exactly does that mean? The Torah is going to change. We know the Torah is, right? Torah lote b'chlefes, lote Torah cheres, right? What are the animamins? The Torah is never going to change. There's no halacha that's going to change. Maybe there's one that the Torah itself says that Ari Miklat. Is there going to be another few Ari Miklat added on? But that's it. You know, what's going to change? The Maris Chayas asks this question. He doesn't answer it. He says, I don't understand. He says, even if you want to say that the words of the Torah aren't going to change, it's just going to be out of order. So out of order. So it's going to be the same halacha. No, but we paskin that you darshan smuchin. What's smuchin? Smuchin means that you darshan if you have parts of the Torah that are next to each other. So then, because this is next to this, you learn a halacha from that. Because Reuven is next to Shimon in the Torah, you compare Reuven and Shimon. So once you change the order of the Torah, that affects halacha. You can't just say it's the same exact words in the Torah. This is Tzorach Iyan. What does it mean that it's going to change? You know, every letter in the Torah that's next to each other is significant in terms of halacha. So it's unclear exactly what the Gemara means, but the emphasis is that it's not in the proper, in the usual place that it's supposed to be. So why is this Vobakasakan? So now, according to this Manda Amar, Rav Shimon Gamliel, why was this Parsha change not written in the right place? We know there's a concept that Rashi mentions a few places in the Torah, Ein Muktam Mukha Batorah. Torah is out of order. So the Torah, but here it's above and beyond that. Here it's the Torah is out of order specifically for a purpose. Why is it out of order? Why is it put here? To have a break between the first and the second Peranus. Between two different tragic events. And the Torah didn't want to have two tragic events. And somebody showed him, say, three tragic events in a row written in the Torah. So therefore, Hashem put this parsha of Ahibit Sawa, Venucha Yomar, in between two of the tragic events in order to have a break between the two. What are these events? Peranashnia Maihi, Vaihi Ha'am Kemisonanim. The Peranashnia, the second tragic event, is when the Am was misonanim, was complaining after they left, soon after they left Har Sinai, they were complaining, they wanted, they were misonanim. I wanted to get the psukim. Sorry, I have a chumash. I wanted to read the psukim. Vaihi Ha'am Kemisonanim. Peranash Rishona, what's the Peranash Rishona? Vayisu Mehar Hashem. If you look at the psukim before Vahi Alkim is onanim is after Vahi Bitsoa. Vayisu Mehar Hashem is before Vahi Bitsoa. So it's to be mafsuk between these two peranios. What does it mean they traveled from the Har of Hashem? That they turned from Hashem? Vahichon Makoma Amar Vashi B'Tagalim. This parsha should be in Parshas Bamidbar, in the parsha of the Tagalim, in the flags when Bnei Yisrael were marching. Okay. What exactly were these peranios? Let's do it again. The second one was the misonanim, where the Torah, right after Vayibitzoa, it says, Vayhi Abke misonanim Rav Azne Hashem. They were complaining. Vayishba Hashem heard, and there was a fire, that there was a plague in the camp. And the ones before it was Vayisu Mehar Hashem, which is the pasuk right before Vayibitzoa. But what is that peranus? What's the peranus of Vayisu Mehar Hashem? They went away from Hashem. So there's a famous answer that Rashi doesn't say here. So Rashi here says, Me'achrei Hashem, v'tokim u'yamin l'masa'om, hisavu ha'asafsuf taiva, l'hisra'im al ha'basar k'dei libra b'akadosh baruch hu. The asafsuf, that's the peranus. So Rashi says that the Torah wants to be mafsik between the misonanim and the asafsuf. Tosva says, I don't like Rashi, doesn't, without explaining why. The Mefarshim explain, you know why that is? Because those who psukim are both after Vayhi Bitsoa. So what do you mean the Vayhi Bitsoa is to be mafsik between these two peranios? The pasuk right after Vayhi Bitsoa is Vayhi Yavki Bitsonanim, and the next pasuk is Moshe Davins and saves them, and next book later, Vahasaf Sufa Sheva Kibo is Savu Taiva. So how is that, you know, what does Rashi mean? So that's why Tosvo says Vayisu Mehar Hashem, no, that's the one that's more well known, quoting the Medrash, and the Ramban al Torah also quotes an idea like this. Vayisu Mehar Hashem, Ketino Kshayosef in Beisa Sefer, Shaboriecho. No, the point was Vayisu Mehar Hashem, which is a pasuk before Vayim Soa, that is because we left Har Sinai like a child running out of school. We've had enough laws, we learned enough, we don't want any more, we don't want to take any more chances staying around school, and we run away fast. So that's how they ran away from Har Sinai. They got so many Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh, they ran away. That was a peronis, that was a tragic event. So that's recorded in the Torah before Vayhi Bitsoa, and the Misonim are after Vayhi Bitsoa. That's what Tosfos says. What exactly is the pshat of Rashi? What is the pshat? So Rashi on the Torah, on this pasuk of Vayhi Bitsoa, he just quotes, Kedei lahatzuk b'peronis l'peronis, kedei isa b'perakol kisvei HaKodesh. So this Rashi, I think Rashi quotes it somewhere else, I didn't get to put in the time, but I'm pretty sure he quotes it somewhere else, I agree with you, I'm sure somebody out there is saying, of course it's right there, but at least on this pasuk he just quotes our Gemara, which is interesting, but our Gemara doesn't say Befeirish, but that's a Medrash, but that is what Rashi says. Again, a start of an answer for Rashi is that Rashi doesn't say it's just the Asafsuf, it's just that they did it betoch gimul yamim. They did it so fast. So maybe the point is that its connection to Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Its connection, they had the Asafsuf right after Vayisu Mehar Hashem. That's the problem. That's why the Peronis is Mafsik, separating the leaving, right? It's the proximity of the event. It's not that the event itself took place. It's just that it's right after Har Sinai took place. That's probably the start of an answer for Rashi. The fact that it's connected to Vayisu Mehar Hashem, not that it took place itself. There is a toast to the Gilgal Shasi, a quote to Tosfos Yanta, if you can look it up. He has a few diukim in the Gemara about why the Gemara deals with the Peronis Shniyah first, number one. And number two is interesting. It's an amazing diuk. Look for why this is. It says Peronis Shniyah, Maihi, Peronis Rishona. It doesn't say Maihi. It just says Vayisu Mehar Hashem. So why is the first one say Maihi? And the second one just says Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Why is that? Okay, just quickly, one more thought from Rabbi Leff, Rabbi Zev Leff from Moshe Matasyahu in his Sefer Al HaTorah, he has a beautiful idea about this idea about the Peronis. So why exactly do we have to have a hefsek between two Peronios? You know, just have the Peronis straight. Why do you have to have a hefsek between two Peronios? So he quotes the Beis Halevi in Parshas Vayigash. What's the Beis Halevi in Parshas Vayigash? Like I mentioned it in the past at least once. Maybe more. Beginning of Yigash, it says, the Medrash says, Oy liyom adin, o liyom atochecha. Right? Woe to the day of judgment. Because Yosef gave tremendous rebuke to the brothers. When the brothers came begging for Binyamin, Yosef said, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. Yosef, is my father still alive? And the Mefarshim all asked, why is that? What's the rebuke? He's just asking, is his father still alive? So the Beis Halevi points out that three psukim ago, they told him his father's still alive. Right? So he knows. It was obviously not a question. So what is he saying? So really, the Beis Halevi explains the Medrash that really Yosef is telling them, is my father still alive? You care so much about Binyamin. You don't want Yaakov to have tzaras now. But what happened a couple of years ago? You didn't care so much about your father. What happened when you did it with me? So you were jealous and you wanted to get rid of me. The Beis Halevi says, you know what Yosef is telling them? That you have a stira in your actions. That's the ultimate tochacha. When somebody tells us, oh, you can't give tzedakah, so why do you spend so much money on the vacation? You can't do this, why do you do that? Meaning the stira isn't going to be, why aren't you like him? But it's going to be within our own actions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring rayas from within our own life. And if that's going to be the ultimate tochacha. And that's what Yosef did. And Rav Lef brings other makoros regarding this. But then he says, maybe that's the point about the hefsek to do the peronios. First it says they ran away from Har Sinai. And then right afterwards it says they were upset, they were lazy, they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. It was too much of a schlep. So why was it mafsek? Because the problem was the proximity of these two ideas. Vayisu b'Hashem, they were running from Hashem. They had all the energy in the world. They were running out of school. All of a sudden they come to the Midbar, they have to walk a little bit to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, I'm so tired. I can't do this. That's the problem. It's these two perennials themselves together, so that's why there's a hefsek between them, because them seeing them together is the problem. And that's what he says, is the nunin hafuchos. Nun stands for ne'amonis. Their ne'amonis, their consistency. They were inconsistent. That's what it's hafuch. Their consistency was hafuch. That's nunin hafuchos, and we have to get them straight back. We have to get the nunin, ultimately, we have to get the nunin straight again. Na'asa v'nishma, nachamu, and we have to get them back to be consistent in our life. Okay, so there's more there, but if you want to look in Outlooks and Insights, it's the Art Scroll Sefer of Rav Lef on Al HaTorah. So he has a discussion there. Okay, Vait. Iboy Lahu, about 10 lines down. Let's say you have cloth of a Sefer Torah, smooth cloth without anything written on it. Can you save that from a fire or not? So Tashma, the Gemara says, Sefer Torah Shabbala, Mishra Lak, each one of the Chamesh Oziyos, Gon Parshas, Pevis O'ar, Matzilin, and Lave Matzilin. The Gemara yesterday, our Gemara that we did yesterday, just said that if it's less than 85 letters left in the Torah, which is very unusual, as we said, most of our Torahs, the most it has rubbed off is 85 letters. But if you have less than 85 letters, so then, Ein Matzilin. So then, the Gemara asks, Va'amai, Tebuk Le'mishim Gilyon today. But so what if it has less than 85 letters? The cloth is still there. So what's the Havamina? So it must be the cloth does not have Kedusha. It must be plain cloth you don't save. So Gemara said, no, Bala Shiny. It's different if it's rubbed out or it was never, if it was fresh. If a Sefer Torah is rubbed out, then the cloth itself also gets worn. And that loses its Kedusha. But if it's fresh cloth that hasn't been rubbed out, that's the question that we're dealing with. Earlier it was just a rubbed out cloth. Now we're dealing with just a fresh cloth. So therefore, there's no raya from that brisa. Tashma, Sefer Torah shenimchak, but here we have a brisa that has beferish. A Sefer Torah that's just rubbed out, but the cloth is fresh. So the same type of brisa, but here the brisa says beferish, it's just nimchak, it's erased a little bit. So again, what about the makama cloth? If the cloth itself has kedusha, then you should have to save it from a fire, even without 85 osios. So Gemara says, no, makama ksav lo kami boili. The Gemara was never asking about place on the cloth that used to have letters, that doesn't have letters anymore. That part of the cloth, for sure, loses its kedusha. Why? The chi kadosh agav ksavu de kadosh. Those spaces on the Torah, their purpose, what gives them kedusha, what imbues them with kedusha, are the letters. Azal ksav, azal le kedusha say. Once the ksav leaves, then the kedusha leaves. So now, once that's rubbed out and the letters are missing, so then this is not what it's supposed to be in the part of a Sefer Torah. Therefore, you don't have to save it from a fire. In other words, it loses its kedusha. Ki kami bayali shamala v'shamata. The question that we're trying to figure out is, what about the space before the Torah starts, the column that's supposed to be there before the Torah starts or afterwards? Or shebein parsha l'parsha, the space in between the parshas. Shebein daf l'tap, between the columns. Shebetchila sefer shebesofa sefer. I'm sorry, mala and mata mean the top and the bottom of the Torah, and tchilas and sofa sefer are self-explanatory. That's the question of the Gemara. So Gemara again says, V'tepek le'mishum hahu. So then fine. A regular Torah has these spaces. So even without 85 letters, save it for the spaces in between the letters, save it for the spaces before the letters, on top of the letters. So the Gemara answers, the guy is v'shadi. No, the whole kasha of the Gemara is where you cut and pasted, you did an art project, and all you have left is the space on the cloth where the letters used to be and now it's rubbed out. Okay, that's the Gaius Vishadi. But in a Hinami, if you have regular cloth space that was never used for writing, that seems to have Kedusha. That's not the question of the Gemara. At least this is the way Rashi interprets the Gemara. So again, Tashma, another try. We'll try to prove it. All of these spaces right above and below the, and never, because I've written on it, Metamenes Yadayim. These are Metamenes Yadayim, as we had at the beginning of Masechta, towards the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, that certain Svarim, they created a Tuma Midrabana, because they used to keep Truma next to that was a separate reason. I'm sorry, for other reasons they created a Tuma Midrabanan for certain Svarim. So only real Svarim got this received this Tuma Midrabanan. So it says all of these spaces, if you just have the cloth, is Metame Siyadayim. If it's Metame Siyadayim, if it impurifies the hands, so doesn't that reflect that it has Kedusha, and therefore you'd have to save it from a fire? So again, the Gemara says, no raya. Vilma agav sefer Torah shayini. No, the issue about the metamenes yadayim, that's only when it's connected to the rest of the Torah. So if you have a whole Torah with open spaces on it, so that those open spaces have Kedusha. But the question that we're dealing with, again, which is unanswered, is if you just have the cloth without connected, if it's not connected to the Torah. Tashma, another try. Ha-gilyon v'sifrei minin in masilin osan v'pnei adzleika. If you have gilyonin and sifarim of minim, we'll talk about what those are in a minute, you don't know how to save them from the fire. Elon estrafen v'mkoman hain v'askar osayin. But if they're written by a min, then they are burned. And the Shemos Hashem they wrote are burned. And the Gemara says, my love, gilyonin the sefer Torah, doesn't, when the list here is gilyonin and sifrei minin, doesn't it mean gilyonin, comma? You have gilyonin, regular cloth, and you have sifrei minim. So isn't this saying that gilyonim, you're allowed to burn, let alone not save? So Gemara says, no, lo, gilyonim the sifrei minim. The whole phrase should be read with minim. The cloth and the svarim of sifrei minim. And that does not have to be saved, and that can be burned. So Gemara says, 1 second, hasha sifrei minim gufayu ein matzilin, gilyonim iboi. If the sifrei minim themselves you don't save, the svarim, the sifrei Torah that were written by minim, then you don't save those. So surely the cloth that it didn't even write on doesn't have the Kedusha. So Gemara says, no, Hachi Ka'amar. So what would be the Chiddush of saying the next line of Gilyonin? So Gemara says, Hachi Ka'amar, V'sifrei Minim Harehin Ki Gilyonim. No, it just means to compare the two. So they're both similar. Even though they're Svarim, the Minim wrote, they have the status of a Gilyonim, which don't have the Kedusha. Okay. So again, we don't have a Beferish Raya about the Gilyonim that we are talking about. What are Sifrei Minim? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Misharsim la'avodah zarah. So it sounds like, over the avodah zarah, that's who wrote these svarim. The kasu lantar nevim ksuvim ksav ashur is lashon hakodesh. And they wrote it properly. They wrote it with the Hebrew script and lashon hakodesh. Okay, keep in mind what Rashi just said, because as we'll see in a minute, it's very difficult to accept what Rashi wrote, and as we'll see, it was probably censored out, and we'll see how the Ritva quotes Rashi, what Rashi might have said before this. Okay, so let's keep that in mind for a second. Gufa, let's continue the Gemara. The Gilyonim and the Svarim of the Minim, you don't save from a fire. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bachol, on a weekday, not only you don't save it from a fire, Kodras Araskaras Shabahen, you cut out the Shemos Hashem, Vagonzan, even though they were in by a Min, Rabbi Yossi holds, you have to cut out the Shemos of Hashem and put them away. Vahashar Sarfan, and the rest of it you burn. Amr of Tarfan, a kapech es banai. That's just a lashon of I shall lose my. It's like a lashon shvua. Reb Tarfan says, no way. You don't cut out the askaras. Shemi yavoli adi. If I get a safer min in my hands, shani esrof osam bes askaras shabahen, I'll burn the whole thing, even the shemos of Hashem. Shafilo adam rodi v'achar v'hargo. Even if somebody's running after him, which means me, he's talking in third person. Even if somebody's running after me to kill me, v'nachash ros lachisho, or a snake's running after me to bite me, nichnas lebeis avodah zarah. I would rather go into a beis avodah zarah vein nichnas lebatei. And I wouldn't go into houses of these minim. Haraya, that the minim aren't of the avodah zarah, which is against that Rashi that we just said. Rashi just said the minim are avodah zarah. So Rashi doesn't really seem to be mistaver. The Gemara here contrasts sifrei minim to base of the avodah zarah, while Rashi says minim are misharsi avodah zarah. What? Avodah zarah versus misharsi avodah zarah? Doesn't seem to be a chiluk. Let's just finish the line. So Reb Tarfan says, I'd rather go into base of avodah zarah, even if my life is in danger, which, by the way, the post can talk about it, you're allowed to run into a church if your life is in danger. So, as an aside here, the Bach and the other Mepharshim talk about it. Seems to be here, Raya, yes. I'd rather go into base of avodah zarah and not into these houses. Why? Shehalalu makir b'kofrim. These minim are makir. They know about Judaism. They know about Hashem v'kofrin, and they deny it. V'halalo ein makirin v'kofrin. And these, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, no, they don't know. They're like, they're not as dangerous. V'yalein ha'chazav omer, and regarding them, the Pasuk says, v'yachar adelsa mezuzah sam tzichronich. Right behind the door, you know, you put your memory, meaning you knew about it, and you didn't keep it in your mind. Yeah, Dovi. I don't know if one can be mechalik. It says that these are, it contrasts, these are Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Batein Shel Elu. But if those are Beis Avodah Zarah also, it doesn't seem to be saying that you're going to be mechalik between the people. Right, a person, so you're saying it's contrary to a person's home. Okay. The Ritva, the way the Ritva quotes Rashi, the Ritva says, Sifrei Minim, Pirish Rashi, Talmidei Yeshu. Right, so that already we know why it would have been taken out. The Ritva says Rashi is Talmidei Yeshu, and if you look in the Yavetz here of Yaakov Emden in the back, when he quotes Sifrei Minim, Nirish Resalomar Osan Minim Shenischatshu Karov L'Churban Habayis Hayaduim, that group of people who started soon after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, history works out a little bit. Shemachma Tam Nitkena Berchat Haminim. Right, because of them, we have the Recha of Al-Mashinim in the Shemona Esrei. Shebanu Bamosam Al Kisvei Kodesh. They built their religion on Kisvei HaKodesh, on holy writings. Limdu Lushonam Lashon Dover Sheker Ha'ava Nilu LaHafoch Dibri Elokim Chayim LaHevel Nidoth. Okay, so that's the, yeah. You need Min is an acronym for Mitamida Yeshua Notzri. In Achinami. But sometimes the Gemara means it, sometimes the Gemara doesn't mean it. But here, the way the Ritva quotes Rashi is maybe that's what used to be in the old Rashis and they it was censored out. Okay, let's continue. Amar Yishmael Kavachomer. Yishmael has another comment about the svar that the Minim write. Umalaso Shalom Benish Leishto. Amar Torah Shmi Shenichlev Pedugusha Yimachal Alamayim. Hashem says to keep peace between man and woman by Isha Sota, you could take my name and erase it in water. Halalu, these svarim that were written by Minim, Shematilin, Kino, Ve'eva, V'takos, Minitzol, Avim, Shashmayim, that were written to create havoc, to create argument and tata between B'nai Yisrael and Hashem, Alachas Kama V'kama, surely you can destroy them and they don't have Kedusha. V'aleim Amar David, regarding them, David said, Halom Esanacha Hashem Esna, referring to those who hate Hashem, and so that's the pasuk that David HaMelech had referring to these people. Just like you don't save them from a burning fire, they don't have kedusha. Also, you don't save them from if it's underneath a house that fell down, or from water, or for any other situation where it's getting destroyed. Many mafreshim say this is referring to weekday, not just Shabbos. But even weekday, you don't save them from these. From these situations. There's a tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov, which we're not going to read inside, but the Shvus Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, says, what about if the Minim didn't write it, stam for these purposes, but Bizman Hazeh, he wrote it in the 1700s. Bizman Hazeh, when you have a lot of Bikursim who work for you, who work in a factory, you know, how many people, what, everybody who's in the publishing factory of Jewish publishing companies, they're Maminim. A lot of them, they just print, they're Bikursim, you know, they don't believe in a lot. So he says that obviously is a different than those have Kedusha. Those have Kedusha because they're just working for you. They're doing it for profit. They're not doing it for any of these ulterior motives. Therefore, he has a shuvah where he says that in that type of situation, it would be mutter. Boi minei Rabbi Yosef Rachanan Merbi Yavo. Six lines up. Rabbi Yosef Rachanan Esra Yavo. Hani Sifri de Be'a Vidun. Matzilin Asobri Atzleiko in Matzilin. These svarim of Be'a Vidun, do you save them from fire or not? What's Be'a Vidun? So Rashi explains here in the first wide line that these are svarim that appeared in, they used to have places where they used to have debates. Throughout history, the Jews and the non-Jews forced us to have debates. The Ramban had a famous debate and others. So even in the times of the Amoraim, it took place. So there was a place where they used to have debates called Be'a Vidun. So do you say, does the svarim there have Kedusha? Rashi here doesn't really explicate the suffix, so if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel on the side, explains that you're not sure who wrote the svarim there. Right, you have svarim in the Be'a Vidun where Jews and non-Jews congregated, so you're not sure, so it's a suffix, so do they have Kedusha or not? So, says the Gemara, in v'lav rafi b'yadei. Sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no. This Amara wasn't sure what to answer. Rav lo azal be'avidan. Rav never ever went to these debating places because he didn't think it was a good idea. Rashi says because eventually they might kill you. He doesn't specify that if you start winning they'll kill you or losing. It was a no-win situation. But he didn't go. V'koshkin lebein nisrafi, and he surely didn't go to bein nisrafi, which is more of a mamish based on avodah zara. Rashi says Shmuel lebein nisrafi lo azal. Shmuel didn't go to bein nisrafi a base of avodah zara, but lebe'avidan azal. But he did go to this debating place. He didn't think it was as dangerous. Amr le Rava, l'Rava, my time loss is lebe'avidan. They asked Rava, why didn't he go to this be'avidan, this debating place? Amr lehu, he made up a story. Dik l'planya ikuba urcha v'kashili. There was a tree in my path. It was too difficult to get around. In other words, he's making up an excuse why he didn't go. Ni'akre, don't worry. So we'll uproot it. So you'll have space, you'll have plenty of place to go. So he said, no, duchta kashali. There'll be a big open space in the middle. I still won't be able to get by. So Rava says that's, you know, when they asked him why he didn't go, he made up a story why he didn't go. Mar bar Yosef Amar, anami na'iwana. Mar bar Yosef say, you know, I'm friendly with them. Velo mistafidi minayo. I'm not scared of them. I'll go. Zimnachada azo boy l'schune. So one time he went and he was in a sakana. Meaning, you never know when things might change. Next story. Amos Shalom the Bishud Rebbe Eliezer. Amos Shalom was the wife of Rebbe Eliezer. Achseid Rebbe Gamliel was the, and she was also the sister of Rebbe Gamliel. Havi ha-have ha-hu philosopha b'shiva vusei. There was a certain philosopher. What is a philosopher? Rashi says, min. That's probably the connection to our Gemara. The Gilyon on the sign says, look what it says on the side in Rashi, but it's our appears Rashi, philosophin chachme ha-umos. Okay, one of the Chachmei Ha'umos. So either way, there was this man that lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Gamliel's sister. Zahavi, turning the Amud, Zahavi Shakel Shema Dolam HaKab HaShokhta. He had a reputation, he tried to push his reputation, that he would never take bribes. Very honest man. He would never take bribes. Bola Chuchei Bei. So Rabbi Gamliel and his sister wanted to create a situation where they could disprove him and show the public that he did take bribes because he was a liar. So they decided to set him up. So first she, Im Shalom, brought him a golden lamp, a Shraga the Daba. For Azul Kamein, she came and he went in front of them. She says, I want to get a portion of the Yerusha. Benashi is my father's house. Nashi in Aramaic means my father's house, it's not Hebrew. So, but I want to get a portion of the Yerusha. So I'm a little plugu. What's the problem? So take a portion of the Yerusha. I'm a lake Sivlon, but it says in our Torah, B'makom bra barsalotiros, right? You learn Hilchas Nachlus, you learn Maseches Bava Basra. It says that if there are sons, daughters don't inherit. Right, so then I can't get Nachla. Again, the whole question is Banazet. Somebody wants to give daughters some money, something called the Shtar Chatzi Zachar. But I'll make her a din. If you look on the Torah, the daughters don't inherit unless there are no sons. That's Benos Slavchad. So Amar Lei Min Yoma did. So he answered this Emes Shalom. Amar Lei Min Yoma de Galisu Miaracho. No, don't worry. From the day that you went into Galus, you Jews went into Galus, is not Lisaraisa de Moshe. The Moshe's Torah was taken away. Viskyahivis Sifra Achrisi, and now you're bound by a different sefer. Viksiv Bey, and it says in that new sefer, Bro Barso Kachada Yersun, that sons and daughters both inherit. So don't worry about it. You can inherit. Lamachar the next day, Hadar Ayel Lei Ihu Chamerluba. The next day, Rabbi Gamliel, the brother of this Emes Shalom, went and gave him a chamra luba. What's a chamra luba? What? A special white donkey. Where did we have that before? Had a bad way back when? Maybe if you have jaundice, I don't remember that one. But if you look back at the beginning of Amotzi Behema, right? You look back on Nun Aleph Amun Aleph, right at the beginning of the Hussar Gemaras. But maybe Behema Yosef Be'ino Yotza. There are talks about Naka B'chatzam. Remember that? So it says, "What's a Luvdikim B'prumbias?" The Gemara says, "Amar Funa Chamra Luba." Right? Nun Aleph Amun Beis. It's Beferish. But maybe it's in the jaundice Gemara also. I don't remember. Okay. So it says So he gave him. Either way, it was a valuable type of donkey. So Amar Lahu Shvi'el Sefer the Sifra. So he says to Rabbi Gamliel, "Oh, don't worry. Look at the end of this new sefer where it says, don't worry about what I said earlier. Because of Bei Anolo Lemifchas Min Arayset De Moshe Asisi Vlobo Subi Arayset De Moshe Asisi. Really, I am not coming to add or to take away anything that it says in the Torah's Moshe. Fixiv Bei Makom Bro Barshalot Tiros." He tells Rabbi Gamliel, "Don't worry. Your sister's not going to get anything. It's all for you." So basically, he gave him to both. So they had him. So Amr Lei, so because they wanted to be mefarsim and publicize it, so she says to him, "Oh, Nahar Nahoraya Kishraga, your light is shining like a lamp. being marames to the lamp that she had given him. So Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, Asachamru Batas Lashragra. Gamliel says, you know what? My donkey kicked over your lamp. Right? So all these, as Rashi explains, were for people to understand what happened and realize that he was a fake and they should stay away from him. Okay. So why is that story brought here? Because of the philosopher Min, that connection. Next, Tudat. So we go back to what was referred to in the Mishnah on Kuf Tes Vav and Aleph. The Mishnah said that the Ksuvim, the way Rashi explained, the Ksuvim were not read on Shabbos. Ksuvim were not allowed to be read on Shabbos. Why? The Gemara's Lashon, the Mishnah's Lashon, Mipnei Bittul Beis HaMedrash. Bittul Beis HaMedrash. What did that mean? So Rashi explained that the Rav gave a shiur Shabbos afternoon in Halacha, and it was important for everybody to go. We saw the Medrash yesterday going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. They used to have shiur Shabbos afternoon. And if people got caught up in Ksuvim, they were so Mosheich, they were so interesting, people would want to do that, and therefore they made a Gzeira. Unbelievable. They made a Gzeira not to be Oseking Ksuvim during that time. So there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel related to that. So the Gemara says, "Put in mind, Koran Amar Rav lo shonel abizman beis medrash." Rav says the whole gzeira only applies at the time of the beis medrash, the time of the shear. When's that? Interestingly, Rashi says lufnei achila. They must have davened early, and the big shear was before they had their big meal. And then in the afternoon, you have time to sleep, you have time to relax. But the shear was given before achila. Where does Rashi say that? Rashi says, "Kodem achila hayudarshin." Right, so bizman beis hamedrash. That's only when the gzeira applies. Avashlo bizman beis hamedrash koren. But later on in the day, Rav says, "Learn ksuvim." You know, that's the what else are we oseki in the rest of the day? Halavai should be ksuvim, right? But it says, "Learn ksuvim." Ushmuel amar no. Afilu shlo bizman beis hamedrash ain koren. Shmuel is more machmir. Shmuel says, "No, even later on, even shlo b'makom, shlo bizman beis hamedrash, you can't learn ksuvim." There was a gzeira. Gzeira was a gzeira the whole day. Any, is this really true that Shmuel totally disallowed it? V'hanardah, asvei the Shmuel havi. Nahardah was the place of Shmuel. U'b'nahardah, pasku sidura b'ksuvim b'mchaz v'tashamsa. And in Nahardah, pasku, what's pasku? You look on the side, it says, Hainu haftorah. They used to say a haftorah by mincha. We had this once before also, earlier in the Msefla. They used to say a haftorah by mincha on Shabbos of ksuvim. Just like we have haftorahs on fast days by mincha, they used to have a haftorah on Shabbos of ksuvim. So they did that in Nahardah, but according to Shmuel, didn't they say no ksuvim? And the Gemara is not assuming you can be mechalik between Betzibur and Biyachid. So he's saying, didn't they used to do that? And by the way, I saw a quote of the Arches Chaim, one of the Rishonim quotes, that maybe this minhag is the reason why in some people have the minhag to say two halalukas of Tehillim while the Torah is being rolled up on Mincha and Shabbos. It's in the Siddurim, two halukas, haluka, odas, Hashem, chol avi, as a zecher to this to what they used to do. These are two ksuvim, tilim is ksuvim. So as a zecher to this idea that they used to do haftorah from ksuvim, they say these halukas.
So we never have haftorah from ksuvim.
So we don't usually have haftorah from ksuvim, but I guess in the olden days they did. So Shmuel, in Ardah they had this, so how could he say that Shmuel disallowed any ksuvim? Okay, change exactly what Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. They're not arguing about bizman beis hamedrash, they're arguing about b'makom. Amar Rav lo shona el b'makom beis hamedrash. Rav says, no, the only isser is in the place in the beis hamedrash, where the Rav's giving a shear. That's where there's no learning ksuvim. If somebody's giving a shear, don't sit in the back with another sefer and learn. Right, that is improper. That's a bizayon to the my 8th grade Rebbe. I always used to talk about that. My 8th grade Rebbe, Rabbi Hertzberg, actually wasn't my 8th grade Rebbe, but he used to give Musar Shmuzin about people. We think that we're such tzaddikim. He says, he once saw a Rosh Yeshiva sitting in the back of somebody else giving a shir, and another Rosh Yeshiva went over to him and told him, how can you do this? And he also told the story from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Kamenetsky was once in the homework. He was once in the homework with him, and he says he was out in Mincha with him, and between Mincha Marev, a young Rav was getting up to give a Daf Yomi shir, and Rabbi Yaakov saw what was happening, and he sat there and he didn't leave. Like, he was there. He didn't want to. He fought this. That's a different level. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky sitting down to give a. But again, this is about kavod of the person giving the shir. So lo shon el b'makom beis hamedrash. So this only applies in the Rav shita. Is that only applies in the place where the shir is? Avos shalom b'makom beis hamedrash karam. But if you go home, there's no problem. So it's an issue of bizayon of the Rav. Shmuel Amar, no. Shmuel says, no. B'im b'makom beis hamedrash, b'shalom b'makom beis hamedrash, b'zman shebeis hamedrash ain koren, shalom b'zman beis hamedrash koren. Shmuel says, no, it's an issue of being at the time. If it's at the time when the Rav's giving the shir, so then you can't even learn ksuvim at home, because they want you to go to the shir. But if it's shalom b'zman, if it's later on in the afternoon, then it's mutter, and that's how Shmuel in Nahardah had the haftorah of ksuvim.
So according to Rav, why is ksuvim singled out
if it's only b'makom beis hamedrash? Good question. I'm not sure. Why is Suvim singled out? Why is only Suvim disallowed? Because we're Nevi'im in the Makom Beis HaMedrash? It's a good question. I'm not sure. Maybe because that's the one that's Mashchaliba. That's the one that you can really get into. Interesting. How like we could have like read Mishlei and the other story. We think Nevi'im Rishonim are the ones that are the most connected to us because those are the stories. But I guess Ksuvim, they understood Ksuvim on a different level. Right? And then Shmuel fits in because he had the Haftorah on Minchan Shabbos. Ravashi Amar La'olam Kedamar Meikar. No, Ravashi says, no, you could fit in the Machlokas how it was first interpreted. Meaning, Machlokas Rav Shmuel about the time of the Beis Medrash. Aye, Shmuel said you can't have Ksuvim even Shalom Bisman Beis Medrash. How could he have the Haftorah? So the answer is Shmuel Krib Nechemya. No, when Rav Shmuel said it's us or even Shalom Bisman Beis Medrash, he was just going within the opinion of Rav Nechemya. But really, he himself holds that Ksuvim are Mutta later. The Tanya, the Brisa says, the Tanakhama holds that even though Kisvei Kodesh, you can't just read Ksuvim straight, but you could learn them be'ion, meaning you could darshan them, you could learn halachas from them, nisrach lepasuk, maybe v'raba, and you could also bring it if you're giving a shir and you need to look up a pasuk in Ksuvim, you're allowed to also. Reb Nechemya says, Nechemya gives a totally different reason for this idea of not reading Suvim on Shabbos, against the Mishnah. And that's who Shmuel was referring to when he said, even Shalom is not based on Medrash. What's the reason? According to Reb Nechemya, why can't you read Kisvei HaKodesh on Shabbos? If people can't even read part of Tanakh, then people will learn a Kol Shekein that you can't read Shtarei Hedyotos. Documents of Hedyotos that you for sure can't read on Shabbos. So they would learn that if you can't read Ksuvim, you surely can't read something that's more chol. What are Shtarei Hedyotos? So this we're going to talk about more about Hashem later on in the Masechta, where it talks about the Mishnah, that talks about the Gzeira against reading Shtarei Hedyotos on Shabbos. There's a little bit here. Rashi here says, what are Shtarei Hedyotos? Kugon shel cheshbonos, so igros shashlochos glimso chayfetz. Some type of cheshbonos, which means like business pages. Anything related to business, there's an Issa d'Rabbanan to read on Shabbos. Question why? Which we'll talk about in the future, or letters. Tosfos says, why can't you read a letter that your friend sent you on Shabbos? He says, no, it has to do with business. There's a big discussion about newspapers. That's what I'm not going to talk about so much now, but in the future. What about newspapers? So newspapers have a couple of potential problems. Number one, getting the newspaper on Shabbos is a problem. There's an Amir La'akum issue, and there's a Tchum issue. Those are the two issues with getting it on Shabbos. But what about if you have it the Friday's paper? You want to read, you got the weekend section before Shabbos. You want to read the weekend section. So the question is, that's a major discussion in the poskim. So in the 16 and the 1700s, you look in the poskim, like the Shvas Yaakov and others. Shvas Yaakov also has a shiur about this, the Rabbi Yaakov Emdin. They matured your reading the newspaper that came before Shabbos, or if it comes on Shabbos, because there might be sakonas nefashos. There might be information in there that you might see that there's an army about to attack you, and therefore you're allowed to read it. It doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. Mishnah Berurah talks about it. You know, we know everything the second it happens. You know, we don't need anybody. If something happened Shabbos morning in Shul, I remember a couple years ago when Ilan Ramon, that was Shabbos morning, right, when it blew up, right? It was Shabbos morning, right, like 8 o'clock in the morning. We knew about it in Shul Shabbos morning. Nobody got the paper about it. It wasn't even in the papers. How do we know? We know! If there's something important, we know. We'll figure it out. So the whole idea, that whole basis of a head that doesn't apply. So there's a big discussion, which we'll talk about in the future. What about if somebody gets on Shabbos? The ads we'll get to is also a separate issue, because that has to do with business. So what about if somebody just wants to read the science, whatever, what's it called, the Science Times? Or if somebody wants to read a special, just something that's current events, somebody wants to read, I don't know, the sports pages, somebody wants to read something. So again, is it the highest level of what you're supposed to be doing on Shabbos? No. But, you know, is it mutter? So that we'll talk about in the when we get to it in a couple of blocks. Okay. Mishnah. Masil tika sefer ma sefer, v'tika tefillin ma tefillin. You're allowed to save when the Mishnah had said earlier that you're allowed to save Svarim for Kisvei HaKodesh, not only are you allowed to save the Svarim themselves, you're allowed to save the covers, the tik, the bags that it's in, the coverings that it's in, v'tika tefillin ma tefillin, and the coverings of the tefillin with the tefillin, v'yavav b'sheish b'tochan mos. Even though there's money in the bag, also, you're still allowed to save it. U'lehechan matzilin osan, to where are you allowed to save it? L'mavi she'enu mefulash. To a alleyway that is not totally open, but Mesira Omer Afl Mefulash, even to a Mefulash. Usually Mefulash means open on both sides, and Eina Mefulash means enclosed on three sides. You have to wait till tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, you'll talk about the Gemara, whether that's true here. Whether Mefulash here means the same thing that it usually means. It doesn't, according to some. So that'll be on tomorrow's daf, Be'ez Hashem. But either way, the Gemara says here, the Mishnah says, you're allowed to save the Sefer, and the Tikkat Sefer, and the Tikkat Tefillin, even though there's money in it. The Ramban on the Mishnah asks a simple question. We're going to learn in a few blot that there's something called a Bassus L'Davar HaAsr. Right? If something is muksa and it's on something else, so then the thing that it's on is a basal davar ha'asr. The tray that the candlesticks are on is a basal davar ha'asr. Not only are the candlesticks muksa, but the tray is muksa. But if there's something that's a basal davar ha'asr ulo davar ha'mutr, let's say on a bottom, on a tray, that's what the heter, the people put two challahs. Whether that works or not is a question, because the challahs are worth much less objectively than the candlesticks. Well, let's say it works. If you have challahs and the candlesticks on the tray, that's what's called a basis of davar ha'asr lo davar ha'mutter, maybe. And then that's mutter, that's not a basis. We pass in a basis of davar ha'asr mutter is mutter. So the Rabbani asks on this Mishnah, what's the chiddush? Even though there's money in there. What do you mean, even though there's money in there? The tefillin are in there. Right, and the svarim are in there, which is mashma that tefillin are in muksa, something that also we discussed in the past. But so what's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah? So the Ramban asks this question. He gives two answers. Number one, maybe you have a lot of money in the tefillin, worth more than the tefillin. You have a couple $100 in there. Okay, that's a nukimta. Then the Ramban says, "Veli nira." No, maybe the whole issue here isn't tiltal muksa. You're right. The issue isn't moving muksa, because migitat muksa is fine. The whole chiddush is to the mavui. The whole chiddush is that you're allowed to be motzi it. You're even allowed to be motzi the money. But not that the issue is muksa, because there is no issue to a basis here, because it is a basis lover usr, or lover hamutr. Okay, quickly, next four lines. Tana rabbanan. Abar, so shakhalis b'shabbis. If erev pesach falls on Shabbos, like it just did this year, mafshidin is a pesach on a chazet. When you skin the animal, skinning is a malacha d'oraisa, but an erev pesach that falls out on Shabbos, you're allowed to do certain. You don't eat it. You don't cook it. Right? Once you eat the Karban Pesach at night, but the preparations of the Karban Pesach have to be done during the day. Which preparations are done? So at least you're not going to eat it until the night. But the burning of the fats in the limbs, the hekter chalav mevarim, have to be done on Erev Pesach, and that's Docha Shabbos. In order to get to the fats in the limbs, you have to skin the animal at least part of the way in order to get inside. Just keep in mind, even though we learned the first mission in Shas. Hector Kalam Evaron can be done all night, b'diavad. Mitzvah on Shiala Amor Shachar. So why don't you wait till after Shabbos? Erev Pesach Fold on Shabbos, wait till after Shabbos. So this is where the Gemara and the Rambam quote, Chaviv and Mitzvah B'Shaita. No, we want to do the Mitzvah in its most proper time, and it's even Docha Shabbos to do it in its proper time. So that's why the burning of the fats and the limbs of Karban Pesach are done on Shabbos, if Erev Pesach falls down on Shabbos. But how much are you allowed to skin the animal in order to get to the fats and the limbs? So says Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha, Biokhanam, and Broka, only, let's see, the animal's hanging by its hind legs. You skin the animal until the chest of the animal. That's enough to get you to the insides, to the fats and the limbs inside, the chalam vebar. But you can't skin the rest of the animal because you don't need to. What, you're going to skin the rest of it to get to the meat? What do you mean? The meat's for you. You can't eat the meat until tonight. So that's why you're not allowed to skin the rest of the animal. Chum or mafshita neskula. Chum say no, you're allowed to skin the whole animal. Bishmal or Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher ben Broka who decided to tzarach gavoha. I understand the first opinion, because you're only allowed to do what's needed for Hashem, for tzarach gavoha, to get to the fats and the limbs. That's only skinning it till the chest. El Rabbanan my time. Why do the Rabbanan allow you to skin it the whole way? Two reasons. No, because everything is L'Shem Shemayim. Everything is included in L'Shem Shemayim. So what's L'Shem Shemayim? Give me a reason. What's the L'Shem Shemayim that is in operation here? So two reasons. Rav Yosef Amar Shalei Yasriach. Number one, Rav Yosef says if the skin stays on the animal, the meat inside will stay warm and become putrid and disgusting and start smelling. That's why you're allowed to take off the whole skin. Rav Amar Shalei Yukachi Shemayim Mutalim Kinevela. Because it looks disgusting if it's just hanging halfway. It looks bad. So if it looks bad, that's why you're allowed to take off the whole skin. My binayu, what's the nafkamina between these two? Either if it's sitting on a golden table, so then it doesn't look bad, but it still could smell. It still could start smelling because it's in the skin, it's still warm. Inami yoma de istana. If you have a day that you have a, Rashi talks about this is an east breeze, a north breeze, either way, it's a cool breeze that's going to prevent the animal from becoming warm and putrid, but it still looks disgusting. So those are the two nafkaminas to the, for these two reasons, two malines. What is the first opinion? Rabbi Shmuel do with this pasuk. The second, the Chacham used it to teach me that you're allowed to go above and beyond. You're allowed to skin the whole animal. What does he use it for? Shlo yotzi emurin kodem hashadas ha'or. Right? He says that you shouldn't try to get the emurin out without skinning the animal at all, like reaching through the mouth, reaching. So without skinning the animal at all, you shouldn't try to get the inside innards out. My time, why? Am refuna b'drav nasan mishum nimin. But if you try to do that, so then there might be some tsemer, some hair, some wool of the animal that will be stuck on, and that would, you're not allowed to burn that on the mizbeach. So you have to make sure that all the tsemer, I think it's the Semer, right? Rashi is Semer HaNedbachim Meimurin. To make sure all the Semer is off, you have to skin the animal at least partially. Okay, these are the two reasons. The Gemara now will continue. Be'ez Hashem, you'll do it tomorrow. We'll continue a discussion relating the Mishnah to this Machlokas. Okay, today's shir was Lichnei Nishmas. Yosef ben Isaac Yehuda. Yosef ben Isaac Yehuda. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.